We're back with another episode of Not Even D2, the podcast covering Division III sports through interviews with those involved in Division III. On today's episode, we have Justice Brantley coming off of an All-Region III first team appearance, all-first team, all-Empire 8. Got a lot to say, excited about this interview. But before we talk more about him, I just want to shout out Nico Leonard, who allowed us to use this space and allow the first in-person episode to happen. So shout out to Nico, great guy, and really appreciative of what he did for us today.
I hit him up earlier in the week, and he was on short notice here. He helped us out. So Nico, he's behind the screen right now. I appreciate you, bro. But let's talk a little bit more about Justice, though.
Yeah, nah, Justice just a really determined guy. And you're definitely going to see from like his first answer how well, not only well-spoken, but he just has a great mindset on how to move forward and like set goals and achieve them. Don't just go through life without goals. Like set them and then do whatever it takes to make those possible. And you know, you live with him, so you have a unique perspective on Justice. So what you think about him and just this episode in general?
Justice and I like, obviously he was always my teammate, so he was always like my good friend. But like my first 2 years, I don't think we were as close. But like this year, like just being with him every day, and like we'll go to the gym together, or go lift, or just like chill, watch NBA, watch film of our practices or games. Like he's just like an overall like good dude. You know what I'm saying? He cares about the game of basketball. He cares about his teammates. He cares about, you know, his family. Like, and that to me, like that's like a big thing. Like I'm a big family person myself. Like my family is my number one thing. So to see him like after every game run to go hug his nephews or run to go hug his mother, like, and his like, and you know, his dad, his brother, like, and hear him talk so highly about them, like that, you know, it just adds to who he is. And obviously he's a great basketball player too, so it's like seeing him develop as a player, like when I was first came in as a freshman to then now, like I'm watching bro score 30 in the championship game, where 2 years ago he said this himself, like he went scoreless, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So just to see his growth over the time as a player, as a leader, and you know, roommate living with him has just been like dope.
Yeah, I mean, you guys probably already love Justice just off how we introduced him, so I'm not going to even say too much more about him. We talk about a lot with Justice, you know, playing in the Empire 8, what his perspective on that is, you know, why he chose to pick Utica was big for him, and then how he's been able to prosper through all the battles, adversaries that not only himself but Utica has been through. And I hope you guys appreciate this episode, and let's get into the conversation
with him. Wait, hold on real quick, though. This is our first in-person episode, though. We're not going to say nothing about that. Let's
first
go,
in
my
person,
boy.
Yo.
Let's
go. It's only up from here, you know. Ruta texted me the other day, like, I appreciate you taking the risk to let me on the show. And my response was like, if that's a risk I have to take, I'm taking that 100 out of 100 times. This has just been fulfilling. You know, Ruta's one of my best friends now, so just being able to do stuff like this and talk with different people has been amazing, bro. So I appreciate all you've done for
bro.
The pod. Yes, sir.
More to come.
But enjoy the episode, and we'll see you in a second. All right, we're live. First in-person episode. How you guys feeling today?
Chilling, bro. How are you?
Chilling, bro. I'm feeling good. Nice to be in Utica with you guys.
For sure, dude. This is fun, bro. I'm glad we got to get this started, dude. It's going to be fun.
We've been watching a ton of NBA at the crib with Ruta, Griff, and I'm just interested, like, who's your team? Who are your favorite players? Who you rooting for in the NBA playoffs?
My favorite team is Miami. They just got blown out by 20 last night. But some of my favorite players that I'm really watching, obviously, Bron, you know, see how long he can keep this, you know, this good pace. I really like Luka and Kyrie, that duo over there in Dallas. I think they're going to beat the Clippers, my personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, but, and then with him, you know what I'm saying, we'll get together, we'll watch those Knicks and the 76ers, but Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Brunson, that battle is always a good watch, too, so.
What you been up to now that, you know, you're done with the season and, you know, it's the springtime, you're, you know, getting your NBA, so what you been doing?
Bro, I just be working out, bro, all day, every day, pretty much. I get up, I'll just go to the gym, go lift, go shoot, come home, rest, chill. And then maybe do some schoolwork, you know, when I'm tired. But, yeah, just hooping, bro.
Word.
So let's get into a little bit about Justice. You know, you went to Catskill High School where you were Patroon League MVP. You were first team Section 2, your last year, you were All-State, and you finished your career with 1,497 points. But from a former Section 2 player, you know, the known leagues are like Suburban, Colonial Council. Nobody really talks about the Patroon League. So just talk about what that league was like, the competition you played in Section 2.
The Patroon, to be honest, it wasn't really all that good. I ain't gonna lie. My conference was like, we had like two, three good teams. It was like us, Hudson, like we, those that's our rivals, and the team, Maple Hill. They were always pretty solid, fundamentally sound. But other than that, we would kind of, it would be like, it would be wild some of those games because, you know, us and Hudson, we were like, everyone wanted to beat us. So those games were always, they were fun, even though a lot of them used to be blowouts, like my junior and senior year. But yeah, growing up and playing in the Patroon, it was all right, but I loved when we got to play other schools and different conferences, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, was there anyone in the Suburban Leagues or Colonial Leagues that you were like, I want to go against him so I can prove myself?
Not really. I always thought, like, I was one of the best players in Section 2 no matter what. But so no matter who we played, like, I was always up for the challenge. Like, we played Chalmont with the Odell brothers. We played Mohan. They were solid. And then we played Schenectady, too. So, you know. But it was always a good comp. And then, but we did play Green Tech a couple times, scrimmage and stuff like that. Like, that was, that got to show, like, other people, like, from Catskill, like, bro, there's more. You got to work hard. Like, bro, dudes are good, but.
So, when you were, like, so you talked about how the Patroon League doesn't have the best level of competition. So, how did you seek out, like, higher level of competition to progress your game? Like, where did you do that?
That started when I was young.
Okay.
So, always just playing with Jordan, mm-hmm. honestly. Playing with him and all his friends. I was some 6 years younger, so. That's how I grew up to, like, find harder competition. But then other than that, like, my mom and my dad bringing me up to Albany, playing AAU up there, playing in those tournaments. That's how, like, I just had to leave Catskill to go find better comp.
I want to hear a little bit more about, you know, you and Jordan's relationship. Obviously, you know, I'm living with you right now, so I hear you guys on the phone all the time. But it's clear to me that Jordan's, like, an important person in your life. He's 10 years older than Nay, so he's 6 years older than you. So talk about just the impact that he had on you just growing up as an older brother, watching him play sports and stuff.
Nah, my brother's a GOAT. Like, he's he's my GOAT, like, personally. He, like, maybe wasn't the best shooter or whatever it is, but no one outworked him. That's mm-hmm. what I always took from him. So, like, watching his sectional run when he was in high school, that I wanted to do everything that he did mm-hmm. and just be better than him. But every day, you know, he's picking me up 6 in the morning, we're going to work out. Like, he was the trainer, he was the guy. So he led the way, I guess. Yeah.
Just talk a little bit more about your recruitment, just heading in, like, after your senior year. Like, what did that look like for you? Like, why did you ultimately decide to go to Utica?
To be honest, it wasn't many schools. It was Utica, Sage, Montclair State in Jersey, and then it was like a couple of prep schools, but other than that, it was very small, minute. And then I chose Utica ultimately because I seen good things here. I got to play with my high school teammate Justin Worth again, so that was always cool. You know, we played every year, so I was like, hey, why not go play with him again? Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, I came here to win a championship, and I knew we could do that, so being here.
So it's interesting now hearing you talk about this. So obviously you mentioned that, you mentioned to me in private that you've always felt like you were underrated or unnoticed growing up and playing in Albany. And mm-hmm. obviously you carried yourself like you're one of the top players, but you weren't getting recruited that highly. So what type of chip did that put on your shoulder, like, heading into your freshman year?
Just that you just gotta go out and just do the same thing I did before, like, go kill everybody is what was my mindset. Because I was obviously, nothing was handed to me before, and it wasn't going to be handed to me here at the college level. So I knew guys are good, especially, like, people like to downgrade on D3, but D3 dudes can hoop. So
yeah.
So I just came here and just, you know, my brother gave me good advice. He said the marathon's not over. So I always just, you know, kept that in the back of my head.
I want to hear more about this advice that Jordan gave you. So I heard, you know, after one of the games, Coach Coffey was saying how you and Jordan made, like, a plan heading into your freshman year for your 4 or 5 years that you're going to be at Utica. So talk a little bit about that.
This all started the day I lost No, the day after I lost in sectionals my senior year.
Okay.
So, like...
When you lost to Jackson? Is that...
Yeah.
Shout out Jackson.
He brought a whiteboard for me and Janae and just started writing stuff down, like writing goals, little goals at a time. And some of them was like lose 10 pounds, jump high, like just a bunch of goals, win a championship, start, like stuff like that. And it was more of like, you know, we might not be good all the time, so look at these goals and see what you accomplish kind of thing. Was his idea about it. To always keep going, there's always higher goals.
Yeah.
And I knocked off everything off that whiteboard. So
that's a big ups, bro.
That's tough. So obviously you had those expectations coming off of a great high school career. And then when you get to Utica in your first few years, you know, it wasn't always the most glorious thing. Some games, I was reading through your stats, you'd only play 2 minutes, 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So talk about what that transition was like, you know, being a star player in high school and then kind of being like a backseat or a role player to some of the guys at Utica.
Nah, it was hard at first because, like, obviously, like, we all think we deserve to play and stuff like that. But in practice, I thought I was doing my part. But at the end of the day, you know, like, I've had difficult conversations with Coach Coffey, and this is why me and him have a good relationship now. You know, sometimes you bump heads, but, like, at the end of the day, I knew what it took to win. I knew I had to sacrifice. And I knew, I was like, whatever to do to win. Once I got that mentality, it was just good from there. So yeah. Whatever they needed me to do in those 2-4 minutes, whatever it was they gave me, is what I was just trying to do.
Were there any players when you were growing into the Utica system that kind of took you under their wing and told you, like, it's a process?
Kobe Lufkin, for sure.
Kobe Lufkin. Just talk a little about, like, what your relationship with him was and what the advice he had.
He was just telling me to, just, like, always keep going, because he was similar. He was a, like, all-time leading scorer in Section 2 before Joe. And, you know, like, he's just saying it's not always going to be perfect. There's going to be games where you don't play. There's going to be games where you play a lot. Just keep pushing, keep working, and stuff like that. And he just, you know, always gave me good advice, kept me going when I wasn't feeling good and stuff like that. So definitely him and Hammer for sure.
Word. Skipping ahead a little bit, in your second year at Utica, you guys won a championship, EA championship, during COVID. It was a shortened season, only 12 games. You guys finished 10-2 that year. And looking through that season, I noticed that you guys lost to Fisher and Nazareth. And then in the playoffs that year, you guys ended up beating them for the championship. So just talk about what allowed that team to, one, like, just win that championship in general, but also, you know, lose to those teams, come back and win. And final question, does that feel like was that a real championship to you? You know, it was a shortened season, only 12 games, and then there's not the fan atmosphere. So just talk about that season and winning the Empire Championship.
That season was a lot. With the summer before, with the passing of my good friend, Bamba.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Bamba. So that year it was hectic. You know, we would start practice, get shut down due to COVID. And then going into that year, I would say, like, those games, the Naz Fisher game, we weren't in a rhythm. But, like, after that game, after that second loss, we lost to Naz at Naz, we did whatever it took to win. We said, like, no more, like, like, we didn't do no more selfish plays. We all sacrificed. We all knew what it took to win. And in those playoff games, those are some good games. I remember the Naz one specifically, that home game. It was a close game, but then we pulled it out. Like, the veterans, Chris, Kobe, Hama, you know, they did their thing. And that championship game, we just had to create our own energy. They had a little bit of fans there. I think it was like only like 50 people allowed there. But we had to create our own energy. We knew what we were there for. So,
You mentioned your teammate that passed away. I'm just curious, kind of like, what that experience of losing a teammate was like, and how you guys used that to your advantage in that season.
That was probably like one of my lowest moments here. He was just a good person, bro. Everybody loved him. So, like, we used that as total motivation, because, like, he never had no bad days. He was always happy, always smiling. Even if he wasn't in a good mood, you would never know. So we knew, like, all right, if we're battling through something, like, what would Bamba do, kind of thing. And we just knew we weren't gonna go that year without winning it. So, and it, to us, it felt like a real season. And in our opinion, we talk about this to this day. If we they had a tournament. We think we going far. We're going to go far because we, hey, we smacked Fisher by like 20 something.
It was like 25.
Yeah, bro. Like it wasn't even a game. Like Kobe and Hema turned up in that second half and we pushed the lead out, and then, you know, it's history.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got injured actually in that game. Yeah. We're not going to talk about the injury or how it happened, but after you realized that you were injured and you had to miss some time, what were you expecting yourself for like your junior year? Like, what did you see for yourself?
I didn't expect to play at all. Mm. So, I went into that thinking I was going to take the whole year off, and then one day I went to the doctors. He was like, you can clear to run and jump and stuff again. So I hit PT really hard, like 2-3 times a day, yep. Was in the gym 2-3 times a day after PT, trying to lose weight, trying to get in shape to prove to coach that I can play. Mm-hmm. Once I got cleared and he was just, you know, I sat down with coach and gave me my role, and I just, you know, I was like, all right, like whatever it takes to win. So
after that year, you know, we ended up losing the championship and this been to Naz by like 1 point or something like that. Definitely a tough way to go out. We lost, you know, Kobe Lufkin to an ACL injury against Alfred. But I just felt like after that year, like we all like locked in, mm-hmm. right? Like we all like went into the offseason like, all right, we got to win this. We got to win it next year. That was our mindset, right?
Yeah.
So obviously you came in and you worked your ass off, right? You put in time, you lost LBs, you were working hard, getting your shot right. So what were you doing that caused that increase in production from junior to senior year?
That started probably when the season, right after we lost. Mm-hmm. I had that meeting with coach, and I was like the end of the year exit meeting, and I just told him like, whatever we need to do to win a championship is let me know. And he gave me a checklist. He's like, all right, get your body in shape, get your jump shot better, stuff like that. So every day, you know, we had lift. Every day after, we was going to the gym. We was going to play ones. We was going to go play fives. Like, it didn't matter. And then that summer, that was probably, like, besides this past summer, it was probably one of the hardest working summers I've ever done in my life, so.
What were you doing in the summers?
Getting up, like, 6 a.m., go run. There's a bridge right next to us, like, a mile long. Mm-hmm. Run it down and back. Come back, go shoot, and eat breakfast, chill, go lift, go to work, and then just repeat. Maybe play pickup later that night, but it was like basketball 2-3 times a day.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, Coach Coffey said, get your body right. And I feel like that's a big part of the Utica culture. Like, we're going to go hard in the weight room. So just talk about what you guys are doing that separates Utica from other teams around the East region and how you think that helped you in your career, like taking care of your body.
Coach was always big on that. Just because, you know, people are strong, bro. Like I realized that quick freshman year, my freshman year.
Green, Kobe, yeah. Emma,
like they're
Avery.
Strong, bro. And then the thing is, like you might be playing against somebody, you might underestimate them.
Yep.
Bro, I got hit with a shoulder, and I was like, yeah, like this, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the first pickup, I was like, all right, like it's time to lock in. But I think Coach and our strength coach Nate, they do a really good job with that. Like, and they specialize it for each person. Like, he has a great relationship with all of us, so he knows how we're progressing and stuff like that. So, and that separates us because no one does what we do. No one does boot camps. No one does 6 a.m.s and
Sunday workouts.
No one's working out on Sundays. No, so like we do things that other people don't want to do.
Yeah. Skipping back to like a little bit of the championship game against Naz, right? You obviously, you know, you can admit this yourself. You had a less than stellar performance that game, right?
Oh, that was probably one of my worst games of my career, in my personal opinion.
And we're going to talk about your senior year, just that whole year, because obviously you had a great year. But again, like not, you had a really good defensive game, but maybe the scoring wasn't there in the semifinal mm-hmm. next year, right? So was there like a habit change after these finishes, like after, you know, these performances, like, all right, this maybe I have to approach the game a little bit different, or I have to do this a little bit different. Did you have that heading into like your fifth year or no?
Yeah, for sure. Playoff basketball, it's like any level, it's different. Like yeah. They're gonna, like even when we played you guys this year, you guys came out with a little different scheme, like stuff like that. You know, you gotta be ready for everything. Mm. I don't think I was. Mm. You know, junior year, I, you know, started that game because Kobe got hurt, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I just I wasn't ready. Like, I can admit it. I just was not ready mentally. You know, I wasn't thinking right the game. And then the semifinal, we lost to Fisher. Like, there's just, like, there's no excuses and stuff like that. You just, I got to play the right way. And, you know, it's the team game, but I take that. Mm. You know, I took that personally going into this past year.
Mm. Word. So let's talk about going into this past year. You finished your senior year, first team all E8. You led the team in scoring and rebounding, averaging just under 16 points and 8 rebounds. And a lot of people would have been satisfied with that career. You know, you won an Empire Championship. You were first team All-Empire 8. So talk about your thought process deciding, am I going to go into the work field? Am I going to continue playing basketball? Or am I going to come back for a fifth year? And, like, what were the pros and cons? And what did you ultimately decide and why?
I felt like I had unfinished business here. Mm. That was the biggest thing. Losing the championship my junior year, then in the semifinals here. It was, like, on our home court, too. I just knew, yeah, like, that hurt a little too much. And then I told coach, I was like, yeah, we got some unfinished business to finish. Like, that the personal stuff, like, it's all good. But, like, we're remembered based on winning in championships. So putting up that banner is going to be more memorable than me making first team.
Yeah. No, that's tough. That's a good start to the interview. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with some more Justice Brantley and Empire 8 play.
And we're back. So obviously you decided to come back for a fifth year. And, you know, I want to say something that I think people should know about you, or I just think is interesting and just cool about you, is like you came back for a fifth year because you said you had unfinished business. It wasn't because you wanted to play pro, obviously you do want to play pro, but it wasn't because it's like I had my mind set on this and it's only this. I'm only coming back to do it. Like, ultimately you wanted to help the program and help even just the team in general win a championship, right?
Yeah.
And you've mentioned to me that, like, you don't know, like, what life would have been like if we didn't win, right? For you, like, you don't know where stuff could have gone. Obviously, you're getting all these accolades now. So I think it's really, like, dope of you to admit that, like, I just wanted to come back to win. So I commend you for that, bro.
Got you, bro. Like, yeah, winning is everything, bro. Like I told you before, like, none of the individual stuff comes, like, the all-region districts. Like, none of that comes without winning that shit, bro. Like, winning and making it to the tournament solidified, you know, the things that I did this year. So, yeah, winning solves everything.
Stamped, bro. You stamped. But, so I want to hear your answer to this question, you know, like, so this year's team, we started practicing from, like, September, dude. Like, September 22nd, like,
yeah.
Coffee had us doing two-a-days. We were still lifting, like, so we got after it, but obviously, you know, we didn't play till later in the year, till first scrimmage was in October, and we didn't play our first game till November.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of curious, like, when did you know that the 2024 team was going to be special?
I knew it was going to be special that CopaSkill scrimmage, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I had always good feelings going into the year, just because, like, I feel like, you know, we had a team meeting right at the end of the year. And I was like, we had it right at lift. And I was like, yo, if you don't want to win a championship, just don't play. Yeah. Is what I said. And, you know, everybody bought in from that point on. But that CopaSkill scrimmage, that was just what we call it, belt to ass.
Nah, facts though.
Like, realistically, it was just, but, like, we came out with a different energy. Like, we were so excited to play and, you know, just to get after, play tough nose defense. Moved the ball. Like, we were just so ready to play, and then I just, like, the energy as a team, I was just like, yeah, I feel like we're gonna be good this year, really good this year.
You mentioned a little bit, you had a team meeting and you were the one that kind of led everything, saying if you don't want to win a championship, like, basically skate. So I'm wondering, where did you kind of get that leadership style to just be like, this is what it is, and I don't care who I offend by saying this, like, I'm gonna speak my mind.
Kobe. Well, like, yeah, from people that go here is Kobe, because Kobe was just, like, he was a blunt, straight-up dude. But, like, that's Jordan right there. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Jordan and my sister, you know, Jordan and Janae. We just grew up, like, hey, you know, you gotta say what's on your mind. Like, it's not like we say things, like, to be disrespectful either. It's like I'm saying it to, like, to point out, like, something that we need as a team. Like, and I always tell them, like, hey, if I say something and I might sound, like, disrespectful, I don't take it as that, and I apologize. But, like, I think just the love to win is, you know, it was how I worded it.
Yeah. I think that speaks a lot about you as a person, but also your teammates, like Ruta, to be able to take constructive criticism and realize that you're just trying to help. So I really appreciate that. But talking a little bit more about this past year's team, you guys won an Empire Championship, had a great year, finished 24-4 on the season. I'm curious about one specific game, though. You know, you guys played the 2 seed in the championship in Nazareth. You won 97-90. You had 28 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Great game from you. You had won Empire Tournament MVP. But I'm curious to know, like, what your mindset was going into that game, what the preparation for the whole team was. You know, it's back-to-back day. So, and then, or no, it wasn't back-to-back.
It was Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah, so it changed. So it was Thursday to Saturday this year. So what the preparation was in that Friday, and then when was the actual realization for you that, like, yo, we just won an Empire Championship?
So that game, boy, whew, I'm not gonna lie, at the crib, we watch it like probably like once a week. Like we'll just like we'll sit down, throw it on huddle, like, but it's because it's like
the vibe,
just the vibe of the game, like the energy, like it was just, it's just too cool not to just rewatch it. But like that preparation of that game, you know, like that Friday, we got some treatment, we got a lot of treatment done for us, like players who like played heavy minutes. But it was more of a mental day, you know, going through scout, going through like schemes of what we were gonna do, and then after that, you know, just getting shots up. You know, coach, we always do a lot of shooting, get our still keep our rhythm, and you know that day, I kind of treated it. I'm not gonna lie, I definitely treated it way different. I was like, I can't lose again. So, but like, you know, I got to the gym early, got to see trainer Dawn.
Shout out Dawn,
the GOAT trainer.
Harry G.
Yeah, but I had my bag of Skittles stretched, and, you know, I was good to go.
So one thing I noticed during that game, I was watching it online. Towards the end of the game, you and Logan Blankenberg exchanged some words. And obviously, you have a lot of respect for him. He had a great career at Nazareth. You guys are both fifth-year guys. But I'm curious, just give a little insight on what that conversation was like.
That was just, like, a little competitive. Like, you know, like I don't really like dislike many people. So I take basketball as basketball. You know, we exchanged a few words, but that was us every year though. So I've always, he's a good player. First team all conference, averaged like 17 a game. So he's good. But it was just more of like a competitive thing. You know, some things we can't say, but you know, it was definitely a nice little conversation.
Yeah. In a previous episode, Darius Hopkins was on the show, and he talked about how the Nazareth-Fisher rivalry isn't as big as the Nazareth-Utica rivalry, but you guys definitely have some, like, kind of beef. So talk about what that was like, just being able to play against Nazareth in the championship and get that revenge.
Oh, that, yeah, get back. But, like, it just felt good because we lost them 2 years ago on our home court in the chip, and I just seeing them... Like, I remember vividly, Jonathan Park running around in a circle right on the floor, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just, like, watching it. So being able to do that and to win that game and to see those guys in the stands afterwards, like, it just felt good. And plus, we lost them on our home court this year. So, it wasn't pretty. Like, they played a good game. They had a good game plan. Like, I didn't play well personally. We didn't. Damian had the game.
You're talking about the regular season, right?
Yeah. Damian had 30 ball. He killed them. But, like, me personally, I didn't play well. As a team, we didn't really play that well. So it was a lot going into that.
Yeah. Transitioning to a different topic, I want to talk about your coach. You mentioned him a lot, Coach Coffey. Seems like you guys have a great relationship. You've been with him for 5 years, and over that time, you guys have a 98-23 record, which is just crazy in itself. But I also noticed the last 3 years, he has a 50-3 record in the Empire 8. Three losses in the last 3 years in the Empire 8. So just talk about your perception on Coach Coffey and how he's evolved as a coach through the years that allows him to be so dominant in the Empire 8.
I think it was his willingness to learn as well. Like, he talks to us too. Like, he'll get our perspectives. Like, I think, you know, like, over the years, sometimes you got to adapt. Different teams, it's different cultures. And that's one thing he tells us about. It's a new team. It's always going to be a little different. And I think going into, like, these past couple of years, he was, like, allowing us to be, like, more of a player-led team, allow us to have, like, more, like, grown conversations with each other. So I give him credit for that, but you know, I ain't gonna lie, he's a nut. He's a nut, but in the greatest way possible.
Greatest way possible.
Like he wants to win just as bad as anybody I've ever seen. So like, if you have a coach who wants to win like that, he reminds me of like Dan Hurley, like a coach who just will die to win. So like, if you don't have that type of coach, then why would you play for somebody?
Well, one thing we actually talked about in a prior episode that's going to be released soon with Coach Riley, or was it Coach Riley? It was some. I forget the interview, but I was basically just like, playing for a coach that wants it just as bad as you, or works maybe just as hard as you. Like, it makes you respect him and want to play for him that much harder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But this is what some people don't know. He's in the gym before everybody comes to the AC in the morning. He's in the gym getting shots of a gun. He's in the weight room, looking like he's training for the Olympics.
Pro contract, bro.
Like, and it is like, as a player and as a leader on the team, like, I can't like lack energy or like lack enthusiasm if like, you know, my coach is doing that. And there's days, obviously we all have those days, but like I said, he wanted it bad, and like, you know, he led by example. So
obviously, you know, this year we dealt with a lot of injuries, you know, Deion, Jaden, Tommy, and you've obviously dealt with injuries yourself. You got surgery before, and you've dealt with knee pain, I feel like, the whole time I've known you. So,
yeah.
So I wanted to hear first, like, what was your, like, response to, like, that 1 week where, like, there was just a bunch of injuries? And even when Tommy was injured, too, like, how did you respond to that and, like, stay positive, like, for the team?
I would show a lot of frustration behind closed doors. Like, I wouldn't let, like, you guys really see it too much, just because, like, I knew if, like, me being, like, the leader people looked up to, if I showed that, like dang, like everybody's hurt, like, what are we going to do? No one would have had confidence. And I just tried to instill confidence in everybody still, because I still believed we were the best team, no matter what. Like, losing Day, losing, like, you, losing Jay, like, you guys are valuable pieces, but you know, that just means, like, other people have to step up.
Mm. And, you know, what would be just, like, your biggest piece of advice for, like, athletes that are dealing with injuries and, like, for them to stay positive? Because, like, when you're injured, like, that's, like, a tough time just in anyone's life. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, especially when you play a sport, like, you're not able to do something that you truly care about, or you're, like, literally unable to maybe walk or do something that you want to do. So what would be your biggest piece of advice?
I would just tell people it's more mental than physical, because physically, you know, like, you want to be out there, but mentally it could get draining. So just to trust the process, like, you know, like, everything happens for a reason is what I always say. So you got to trust the process, trust your trainers. They can just grind in PT, because like, if you don't, it's going to show, like, your leg or whatever it is, it's not going to work the same. So just trust in that process.
So KJ, I wanted to tell you this. I don't know if I told you this story, but Justice talks about, like, not showing frustration in front of us, right? So I can give a perfect example of that. When I got out of my surgery, but when he picked me up, like, he had the biggest smile on his face, like, was, like, giving me mad energy and stuff like that, like, didn't let me be sad. So, like, this right here, it's not for show. Like, this dude really carries himself.
Nah, I can tell. He's just a genuine guy, and I appreciate, like, everything happens for a reason. Life moves on, so it's easy to just, like, you know, get an injury and just sit back and be like, well, I'm messed up now. But it's like, what are you going to do in that time so that when you do get back, you're going to be a better person?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, battling back from injuries is like one of the hardest things to do, like, in life, like, in general. Because, like especially, like, people like us, like, who love the game of basketball being taken away, I think it gives a better appreciation for the game as well. And I just feel like, and it builds character, honestly, like, going through, like, tough challenges and stuff like that. You know, like, going through my own injury, it was rough. Like, there was days where I was just like, yeah, I don't want it. Like, I might be done playing basketball. But then, like, you know, I got through it. You know, when I came up here, I had, like, my guys, you know, pushing me through PT and, like, yo, you get back, we could use you on the floor. Like, you know, stuff like that, you know, it keeps you going. Mm-hmm. But, like, getting through that was probably, like, I would say it was, like, one of my best things I've done.
So, you know, you just wrapped up a great 5-year career, and I just want to hear just, like, your outlook on your career. Like, obviously you're done, you're stepping away from Utica, and you're going to pursue, you know, bigger things that, you know, we're going to talk about soon. But I just want to hear just your overall outlook. Like, how would you just, like, describe your career and, like, your just perspective on it.
I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change none of it. I think, you know, like going through like the dog days of, you know, maybe not playing a lot or, you know, not getting what you needed, it built character. It made me, but it also made me work harder, made me study the game, maybe become like a student, a real student of the game. I feel like that word gets thrown around a lot. But like, you just, you know, it was fun, bro. I had a blast playing, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Winning two tournament championships, three conference championships.
Yeah, bro.
Like, I just came here to win, bro, and I feel like I did that. So,
right. No, good for you. And quickly before I ask you this next question, I like how, you know, you have a ton of individual awards that you've won, and what you just said is all about winning, like mm-hmm. you talked about earlier. So I appreciate that you're not driven by like the individual success. You're more a team guy, and that means a lot.
Yeah, especially like, you know, when you come here, you're playing with a lot of good guys. You know, I'm not. It's gonna be hard to try to like achieve these big things, especially when you come to a school to win. So knowing that already, it was just like I knew what I came here for, and I always knew that like if I played good enough and we won games, the stuff like that's gonna come.
Yeah.
So it came afterwards, like I said, because you know we won. Like things happen because of winning. It's winning first.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm wondering mostly, but some viewers also. You know, you're coming off an Empire Championship, tournament MVP, all region. You got a ton of individual awards. I'm not going to list all of them out, but what's next for Justice Brantley?
Right now, I'm training to go to this We Are D3 TBT Combine, May 18th. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to do a couple of those. I'm trying to continue to play overseas. That's my dream.
Yeah.
That's the only goal that's left on that whiteboard. It's the only thing left. I had winning a championship, make it to the tournament, like all that stuff. The only thing, it's the biggest goal is in bold, overseas, with like 4 exclamation points Jordan put. So
that's tough. This is going to be the last question before we end things. You know, one of your teammates, Darius Hopkins, and your coach actually played professionally. Are you looking to them for advice, or where are you kind of getting what you should work on and what leagues are best for you, what agents you should sign? Talk to me about that process.
I've been talking to Darius a lot about that stuff, just asking how his process was, how the year was, like ups and downs, stuff like that. And especially coach too. I talk to coach probably on the phone once every other day or so. Just getting their perspective on it, and just picking their heads, picking their brains, and stuff like that. But mainly, they just said like, you just gotta stay in the gym. You always be ready. So,
Stay Justice, bro.
Yeah,
we're rooting for you. But we're gonna end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting a 5 edition. Let us know when you're ready for the rapid fire.
All right, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, ready.
All right. So, top 3 funniest teammates.
Oh, Hammer, for sure. Kobe. Kobe was hilarious. I'm trying to think of somebody off like this team. Maybe like Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan.
Low key Jaden, bro. Like, Jaden's funny, bro.
Yeah, like, and you know, a lot of people, this is an underrated one, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's funny as hell.
Tommy's like the Kawhi. You know, everybody says on the Clippers that he's hilarious, bro. Tommy be in the back of the bus, be having us in tears sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going to give a quick. I'm from the outside. I don't interact with you guys that much, but I'm saying Griffin's up on that
list. Yo, yeah, Griffin's bro, crazy, bro.
Yeah, Griff just doing wacky things, bro. I ain't going to lie.
Yo, favorite away gym to play in?
I gotta go at Sage, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've always played, like, decent there, and it's, you know, it's close to home, so.
This is kind of on the fly, but what was, like, your most anticipated out-of-conference matchup this year?
Out-of-conference? The Con game, Con College.
Yeah, no, that was that definitely.
Yeah, just that. Because, like, you know, they made it personal with you guys. Mm-hmm. They were calling you guys. You and Deion talking, Dayon, crap, talking yeah. crazy, yeah. saying, "Are we about to come in here?" I was like, "Yeah, I ain't going for none of that." So, you know, I definitely had an edge going into that game for sure. You know, they're a good team, NESTAC school. So, I knew if we won that game, like it would prove to people that you know we can play with some of the better teams.
And then, last but not least, favorite Utica restaurant go to.
Like Utica.
Yeah,
Venice.
Okay, I like that.
Venice or Bella Regina? Bella Regina.
What you getting from Venice?
I'm getting 2 bacon slices, Order everything wings. Yeah, I got all well done.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then usually the buffalo dip, me and you would be killing that. I ain't gonna lie, we'd be killing that.
OD, this is fire.
All right, before we get into starting five edition, Ruta, next up five with 25 seconds left, so you could chill for the night.
That's for you. That's for you.
Hey, I told you, like, they're gonna win. They're gonna beat the Sixers. The Sixers, if they were gonna win, they had to take the game out in New York,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. All right, so this starting five edition is gonna be, if you were a coach, assemble starting five, 1 through 5. And this edition is going to be E8 players throughout your career. You've been in here 5 years. You can include Utica guys. You can include yourself. I'm interested to see who you got.
For my one, I'm going to go Mike Schmidt from Alfred, actually.
Shout out to that boy.
Nah, yeah. I think he's a good PG. Pass first point guard. Coming off ball screens is very hard to guard. He can finish at the rim. He threw the cross-court pass with his left hook pass. And it was like, we always had to be, like, on that weak side, I always had to be ready in case he was throwing it to, like, Adam Enders or whoever, just shooters. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think he was good. I'm putting myself at the two.
Okay. I respect it.
Yeah. I can't think of his name. His last name, I think, was Bradshaw from Hartwick. He gave me, like, my welcome to college moment.
Yeah. What was that?
Got a switch. Hit me with a tween cross. Crossed me. Hit. And I fouled him on a three. Coffee, sup? You know, like, got me out of there. At the four, I put Dan Cook at the four. You know, I was four-time player, the EA player of the year. Mm-hmm. 20-10 guy every night, it seemed. And then at the five, I'm going to go with my teammate Hammer, my old teammate Hammer. He was just a beast, bro. Like, blocking shots, no one drove to the basket. Like, he made our defense as a whole kind of like the Timberwolves. You know, everyone can be like overly aggressive out front because you got him in the paint protecting everything. And he was always a good vocal leader.
Yeah. And what people don't talk about him is he was actually really skilled, like touch all around, kind of pass it. So
he's probably the best passing big I've ever seen, like in person.
Yeah.
Oh my, like he was so unselfish because think he could have just wanted to score 30 points a game because he probably could have if he really genuinely wanted to, but he wanted to win just as bad as everybody else.
No,
but yeah, his touch, and he can move. That's what a lot of people think. Everyone thinks he's just slow. Yo, that boy can move. When he wants to, he can run.
I remember one time, like, I switched out. He switched out on me in practice, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, obviously, me and him will, like, joke around. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to get this buck. And then I drove by him. He sent my just, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He was moving his feet, too. I was like, yeah, nah, he's tough.
Hey, I played against him in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson,
right?
Yeah. It's all over the internet, him blocking my shot into the stands. You know, so he's always been like that. Yeah. So.
One thing I wanted to ask you, so, like, obviously you played in Emperor for 5 years, and you've been to the NCAA tournament twice, so, or like, what would be your opinion just on the Emperor overall as a conference? Like, or, like, what are your opinions on it?
I think people need to stop sleeping on Emperor teams. St. John Fisher is always good. Naz is good. Obviously, you know, the E8 runs through us, so.
Stop it.
Yeah, you know, like that Alfred game, was not easy. I told him I was more worried about that game than the championship game.
That's crazy.
Like, it's just like, because anything can happen, and I knew you guys were capable of getting hot, and you guys were hot at that time. You guys were running hot. You guys just smacked up Cuca a couple days before that, so. I think the E8 is getting better. And I think, like, Colton was a good team, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, the conference as a whole is just getting better. So,
well, that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. It's been fun. First in-person interview. We got to do more of these, bro.
Yes, sir, bro.
But we appreciate your time, Justice, and we looking forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Appreciate you guys, bro.
Sir.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, KJ Allison, and I'll see you next episode.